Ling.
Okay.
And then I just ask my friends to call me.
That's right.
Simply Ling.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now I ask everybody when they were born.
Yeah.
Okay.
April 9th.
Okay.
42.
Okay, now, here we are at 35,
22 West 42nd Avenue.
And this is your family home. Yes. And how many years have you lived here?
The fifth year.
Fifth year. Oh, wonderful. Now, what I'm going to do is just ask you to tell me about... not your life in Dunbar necessarily, but life in Hong Kong, where you came from, and how you came to be here, and what you've been doing as a career in Hong Kong and here, and what you've been doing here.
Yes. Okay. Well, where should I start? Well, I was actually born in Macau, then. My parents brought the whole family to Hong Kong after the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
So I had my primary, secondary, and university education in Hong Kong. And most fortunately, I had the opportunity to go to Liverpool for my master degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I studied plant taxonomy.
Oh, yes, that's right.
And so I'm supposed to be a botanist, but I try not to tell people that I'm a botanist because here I know very little about the local plants because the difference in the tropical flora and the temperate flora. And but here I have the opportunity to do some gardening, which is not that possible in Hong Kong.
No, that's right.
Because we live in high-rise buildings, and only the very rich people can afford to have a house with a small garden.
Oh,
so, well, I consider myself very fortunate to be able to live here, I would say, for my retirement.
That's great. So you mentioned that you were a writer in Hong Kong. You were doing that kind of
thing. No, not really a writer. Well, what should I say? Because of the 1997 issue, in the early 80s, when Margaret Thatcher, the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom at that time, knew that the Chinese government would take over Hong Kong when the lease expired in 97. That news came as a bomb to the Hong Kong residents and citizens. And so the rich people were the first one looking for foreign passports, foreign residency.
Yes.
And at that time, my husband, he was also very eager to leave Hong Kong, and he said, Hong Kong is no longer a place for us. We should try to apply immigrant, because at that time, we had a very little girl, and she's around two.
Oh, nice.
And so we make various inquiries at the different consulates, embassies, you know. And to our great discouragement, we find out that only business people, that means what they classify as entrepreneurs, were welcome. And so at that time, I had taught as a teacher for quite a number of years, and then I had a chance to switch completely to what should I say, to a factory, working as a general manager in a factory because of my brother-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
He owned a factory, and at that time he got so many orders, he couldn't cope with his main factory. So he branched out and opened a branch factory. And his parents and also my brother-in-law considered me as a reliable person.
Yes, very good.
So they asked me to help in the factory. And then I, at that time somehow I said, well, it's quite a change and it's quite a challenge. So I accepted the offer.
Oh, right.
But then the factory just, well, ran smoothly because of the help from the main factory.
Mm-hmm.
We got orders, we have everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did manage to make good profit.
Okay. What was the business? What was the business?
Well, that's artificial flowers.
Oh, interesting. Ah.
And so I was happy because it's completely different.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed the different, what should I say, environment, working with, what would you say, workers instead of students, from a very intellectual, more or less, because I taught in a post-secondary college.
Mm-hmm.
So from a very intellectual, quote-unquote, environment to a very...
practical, down-to-earth kind
Yes,
of, yeah.
Very, and but I enjoyed the work.
Mm-hmm.
And but then the import regulation of the United States changed.
Mm-hmm.
So they pumped up the import tax on the artificial flowers that much that my brother-in-law thinking that the profit margin was just too low.
Mm-hmm.
So he closed the factory.
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to teaching.
Oh.
But because of this exposure, when my husband raised the question of we should consider about applying elsewhere, going abroad, and then we learned that only business people with successful, quote-unquote, business experience were qualified to apply. So my husband plunged into the printing business. Actually, at first it's not printing, it's color separation.
Oh, yes.
He started a color separation business.
Oh,
and then, but every month he lost money. And then at that time my girl was two, very small, and I would like to, I quit my job and I stay home on a full-time basis so that I could be with my baby. But then one day he came home and said, oh no, you must go to the factory. I said, what am I going to do there? I know nothing. And he said, no, you just sit there and then the staff won't do anything that's harmful to the
business,
to the business, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so I went, and then, well, I can say that doing business is common sense. When I sat in the office, and then I looked at the books, and then I discovered that there's no way to make a profit if you just did color separation, and then. But there's another business that's quite possible to make a profit and related to color separation is printing. And so I started to venture into this field. And I was most fortunate, and I'm always grateful. I'm a Christian, and I know that God leads me every day. And somehow I got in good contact with a Christian printer. And with his help, I was able to get printing contracts from very good and big foreign companies. because at that time, that was in the mid-80s, mm-hmm. the Chinese market was just beginning to open to the foreign world. And so many big fat companies, for example, GE, and agricultural product firm of France, they all targeted at the Chinese market. And so they need someone to translate their catalog into Chinese, get them printed, and mail them into China. And that's the job for me.
Perfect for you.
Yes.
Oh.
And that's the way I turned the economic situation of the company to the other side. We make quite a good profit.
Oh,
I was so happy.
Yes.
And because of this business, we were able to apply for immigration.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
And among all Australia, US, Singapore, and we still, at that time, we came to a conclusion that Canada is the best country we should apply for. Mm-hmm. So we handed in our application. But at that time, and that was in 1985, at that time, the immigration policy of Canada was still rather strict. They only welcome entrepreneurs.
Right.
And only, I think I vividly remember, it's only in 86 they opened the immigration policy to other trained personnel, people with skills and with academic achievement, etc. So we were a bit too early. And at that time, we applied and we find out that if we applied for the Ontario province, we were obliged to hire 20 people. But then if we applied for Quebec, we were only asked to apply, to employ one, at least one French Canadian. So we handed in our application for Quebec, and we were granted the immigration visa, and so we moved to Montreal in 87.
I see.
And we stayed in Montreal for 4.5 years. I love Montreal.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful place, beautiful city with historic background and with its own culture. The people are very, very friendly, but because of its, what should I say,
French language policy. Yeah.
And I try very hard to learn French, but at my age, I mean, it's a bit difficult.
Yes.
I can pick up the French by reading, but in conversation, I can't. And then I said to myself, and also my husband felt the same, well, it's good for my child to be bilingual, but it won't be good for her to be confined in the Quebec province.
Right.
So we decided to move out. We went back to Hong Kong.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, for another 4 years.
Mm.
And then we came. Then I decided that it's time for me to move back to Canada for my girl's education.
I see.
At that time, she's
10 years old or something?
No, no, more than
more
that.
Than that.
More than that. Mm-hmm. Approaching 14, 15.
Mm.
So we came back and we decided not to go back to Montreal and not to Toronto because it's just too cold in the winter.
Yes, right.
And I don't want to move again. So I think, well, Vancouver is the best place for my retirement and for the
for schooling and everything.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And well, I'm very happy here.
That's wonderful. Yes.
And my girl is doing very well at school.
Good. Where is she going?
Right now, she's a third year student at UBC.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Mm. And because the house is situated so close to UBC, mm-hmm. the second year I was here, I applied for BA program in UBC because I knew that I had to improve my English since mm-hmm. I would spend the rest of my life here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I applied, and then they asked me to start from scratch. I had to sit for the English exam mm-hmm. test, mm-hmm. and then after I passed that, and then they would accept me into the arts program.
Oh, good.
And then, so I spent 3 years mm-hmm. at UBC, and I got my BA degree
mm-hmm.
last May.
Oh my goodness.
But I enjoyed every minute of it. I enjoyed the lectures, the lecturers, all of them are so helpful.
Uh-huh.
And I start to learn a bit more English.
Uh-huh.
Especially I am aware of my mistakes.
Uh-huh.
But I really enjoy every course, and every day I'm thankful and grateful that I'm here.
Yeah.
Yes. And especially after I have finished the studies,
mm-hmm.
I have more time to engage in the community center activities.
Mm-hmm.
And then I volunteer to take part in the to play a part mm-hmm. in the history project, mm-hmm. etc. And I come to know a bit more about the Dunbar area, and I love the area. I find it so unique.
Yes.
And the residents here are so friendly, and they are so, quite a number of them are very educated and intellectual, you know. I'm happy.
Oh,
I'm happy here.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Well, what did you major in at UBC? That's fine.
Well, at first I thought I would major in English literature,
mm-hmm.
but then I found out that one literature course per semester,
mm-hmm.
I could only manage that
yes.
with full confidence. If two literature courses, mm-hmm. it would be a bit too much for
yes.
me. And then based on that, it would take years for me to graduate. So after a second thought, I switched to Asian studies.
Ah,
and at least I had some basic
background for that. Yes.
In the Chinese literature. And then I could easily take two Asian studies courses
mm-hmm.
and one English literature course mm. per semester.
Mm.
In this way, I can speed up the time to require for graduation.
Oh, that's great. So, what is your husband doing now?
Oh, right now he's back. He's in Hong Kong.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, mm-hmm. because he still he
has a business still.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, he's a medical doctor.
Oh, he is?
And he's not
permitted
to practice
right.
here.
Oh, dear, that's terrible.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
So how long are you separated then, usually?
Well, he comes here once or twice
mm-hmm.
a year, and mm-hmm. we go back once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
So
oh, dear.
This is how,
you have
life
to live.
Is.
Oh, goodness.
And perhaps if you know some Chinese, if you have some Chinese friends,
mm-hmm.
quite a number of families are like this.
I can imagine, yeah. They can yes. come because of what they're doing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can't have everything.
No, that's right. Well, I hope he can retire here too.
Yes, he's thinking of retirement every year. He said, next year I will retire.
Oh, yes.
Next year I will retire. And then I will come back to Vancouver.
Yeah.
But then, I think whenever he thinks of retirement, thinking he has nothing to do here.
Yeah, that's right.
And he just keeps on postponing.
Oh, dear. But there's this new Asian Occidental Medical Center. Could he come into that or anything?
Well, that's completely different.
It's quite different, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah. So he was trained in Western medicine.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
yes,
so.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And he's a surgeon. And
oh,
so.
My. Oh,
yes. A general surgeon.
Oh, my goodness, that's something. So, well, that's a wonderful story. Now
I would say that I have an interesting life.
Yes, I would say so. Very interesting.
Especially my experience in the printing business.
Yes.
And I learned so much, and I experienced various ups and downs,
mm-hmm.
but fortunately, and I'm so thankful that in the latter part is always up.
Yes, that's the main thing. Always up.
Yes.
Oh, good.
And I got good clients, no complaint, really.
Yeah. Oh,
and I did a good job. I did
I'm
good
sure
jobs
did.
For them.
That
yes.
is wonderful that you could learn all that.
Yes,
good.
Yes.
Oh, it's quite difficult, so time intensive sort of thing. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my. Now, your daughter, did she go to high school here?
Oh yes, yes,
uh-huh.
yes.
Point Grey or?
She was at Churchill.
At Churchill. Oh yeah. Did she take
from grade 9 onwards?
Oh, okay.
And then she was in the IB program.
She was good.
And she did well,
mm-hmm.
and so last year she was accepted into UBC
mm-hmm.
with a scholarship.
Good.
And also she's classified as a second year
mm-hmm.
student because
mm-hmm.
they counted the grades in the IB program as
oh,
credits.
I think that pushes people ahead, doesn't it?
Yes.
IB program.
Yes.
It's very good. I've never heard about it, but I'm sure my daughters would have benefited if they'd been able to do that. But we didn't have it in the 1970s, I don't think.
No. I think only recently the UBC recognized the IB program, the grades. This is why I think they lost quite a number of brilliant
students
to the university in the East.
Oh, really? They accepted it, the IB
yes.
credits, I
see. I think only last year or the year before they started to realize that they should recognize the students with good IB grades
yes, that's right.
and take them in. So.
Okay.
She's lucky in a way.
Yes, she is. Very lucky.
Yes.
Wonderful. What's her major?
Stephanie, she's now in the political science.
Oh, good. Okay. That's interesting.
She's good in history.
Uh-huh.
And she is interested in political science
uh-huh.
and international
relations.
Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
And she is bilingual.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I should say
yeah.
trilingual.
Yes, with the French.
She's French.
That's wonderful.
She's fluent in French.
That was wonderful.
Because of
what
the brought
advantage.
Up in
mm-hmm.
Montreal.
That's right. That's a
yes.
great advantage. Isn't
yes.
It?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you said you liked Dunbar in general, and you found it easy to adjust to life here because of your background, and it's just very unusual.
Mm, yes.
What do you have Chinese friends who react differently to the being here, or?
Oh, I would say regrettedly that quite a number of immigrants from Hong Kong,
mm-hmm.
when they got the immigrant status and they stayed in, for example, in Montreal, they complained about this and they complained about that. And I just tried to say to them, why? I mean, you should be grateful. I mean, this is a great country. And why you complain about this and that? There are people complaining this and that. But not all.
No, not all. I mean, how many people really bother to learn English in the Chinese community now that there's quite a sort of a ghetto? I mean, there's a lot of people just never learn English. Do you know how many you would think are like that? Did you know?
Well, I don't have the figure or the percentage, but it is true that many won't bother to learn English, especially in Vancouver and in Toronto, because they can
get by.
Yeah, because everything is available in Chinese.
Yeah,
the bank, you know, and well, that's sad.
Really. There is a problem. I know we experienced it when we lived in Japan for 9 months. That there's a cultural differences you feel, well, should I hold on to Christmas, for instance, or get caught up in New Year's celebration, which is so important there, just wondering about cultural traditions and if it's easy to accept these new ones, or if you keep many old ones, or, you know. I know that they expected Hong Kong immigrants, for instance, to bring whole families over and live in these big houses, but it hasn't taken place, I don't think. I may be wrong, but I don't know. It seems to me there are lots of times very few people living in a large house in the Vancouver area, or the Dunbar area, even, you know, these big houses, like your house, for instance. Sometimes they expected 3 generations to come and live here. This is why they built these big houses. I know one family in Dunbar who's 3 generations living there, but they had most of them not that many. What do you know about that? Anything about that?
Among the Chinese, you have to aware of the fact that the Chinese from Hong Kong, the Chinese from Taiwan, and the Chinese from mainland China, they are different.
All different, yeah, I can imagine.
And I really don't know that much,
I think,
about the two other groups.
I see.
But we have only one thing in common, that's the Chinese character. Not even the conversational dialect is different.
I see.
So in a way, it is quite, I would say, quite a sad thing among the Chinese. We don't really know each other. We don't really... I wouldn't say trust, but it's a strong word.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
We have some reservation when we meet the other group. Well, perhaps this is my very personal feeling.
It's probably the same with us and French Canadians, you know. We just there's this whole cultural gap.
But we know that the people from Hong Kong, they try to stick to their old Hong Kong style of life. That's rather sad. They have their own Chinese channel, read Chinese newspaper, and they just don't care what's going on outside.
Around them,
outside their house. So I hope that something can be done.
Something is trying
or should
to
be done.
I think that I understand that success
yes.
is trying to start something in Dunbar called the Bridge Program or something, where they're going to have a coordinator and all these different groups get together. So maybe something will happen. You can all interact in some way, some
yes.
common ground. I hope so.
Uh-huh. Yeah, when you mentioned about the success activity at Dunbar,
mm-hmm.
I remember that in May or in April when we started the promotion for the programs.
Yes.
The Salmonberry
days. That's right. You
yeah.
were
I tried to approach the group, but I think we need more personal contact
yes. mm-hmm.
rather than just give them a sheet and
that's
say,
right.
"Come."
Right.
And then.
Then they will trust better, won't they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a good idea. I was really pleased. To have, there's Mr. Ho is pretty good. He comes out.
Yes. yes.
And there's somebody else. Who else came on that trip? You went to Hastings, did you? West Hastings? Maybe you were away that time. You went to see the East End of Vancouver. And this other Chinese couple came along.
Oh.
An
older I think
couple.
Perhaps I missed that.
I missed that one. But there was another couple, and so we were pleased to see that too. Although his English was rather hesitant, he still wanted, to see what it was all about, which is
mm-hmm.
important,
mm-hmm.
That's really good.
Yeah, I think last May was a good start
mm-hmm.
trying to. Reach the Chinese community in the Dunbar area,
yes.
and perhaps we will continue and do a bit more
that would be
in the coming
nice.
Months.
Yes, we were thinking of having a first organizational meeting in November,
mm-hmm.
and maybe we could plan something, that would be concrete, something we could do for the Chinese community to bring them in.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. If you have some suggestion and
mm-hmm.
if I can do it, I'm happy.
Oh, that's very nice.
To do it.
Okay. I think I'll stop for now.